We're doing Pirkei Avot with the Jewish home. We're up to the first chapter, the 13th Mishnah. The Mishnah had begun by telling us a quote from Hillel in Babylonian, in Aramaic. Hillel had said, Negid Shema, whoever became famous, Avad Shmei, should know it's short-lived. And we discussed the interpretation that this speaks about Noheg Atzmo B'Rabbanut, someone who tries to take on heirs, that ultimately that causes a person's early demise, as happened to Yosef. And we also discussed the idea that when a person is busy making himself famous, so it won't last for too long. Udelo Mosif Yosef. Hillel taught another rule. If you don't add, then you get lost. Rabbi Beryl Wine often says, life is like a cardiograph. There are blips. You go up, you go down, you go up, you go down. When it's a straight line, you're dead. Udelo Mosif. If you're not trying to add, then you're safe. The person's lost. When a person tries to grow, so then they might stay in place and they might grow. But if they're not looking to grow, so then they're going to be lost. We always have to attempt to grow. Now, people make a mistake in this. People think, let me add another 5 minutes, let me add another hour to my learning. Sometimes that's right, but sometimes it's not right. Sometimes adding is not correct. You're not going to sleep enough, you're not going to invest enough time with your family, you're not going to be the parent you're supposed to be. Sometimes adding is in quality, not just quantity. Children sometimes get very enthused about their learning, and they say, let me cut my recess, let me learn during recess. And I always say, don't cut your recess. If you're really enthused, focus more. See if you can get more out of the time you're investing. But losif doesn't always have to mean to add hours. Sometimes adding hours can be destructive. That takes a certain maturity to analyze, how am I adding? Adding means what? Maybe I can, when I come learn, I'm not going to be busy with other things. I'm going to be focused on my learning. 5 minutes of focus is worth more than 10 minutes of non-focus. So that's the idea of adding. But this is true not only in Torah. This is true also in anything that we cherish. One of the weaknesses we have is that we take what we cherish for granted. So we don't invest in it. We'll start with the simplest example. A person has a cell phone that works well for him. How often does he back it up? You take it for granted. Figure you have your information. A person has children and things are going nicely. How often does a person stop and say, okay, who are your friends? How are things going with your teacher? Where do you sit in class? What do you do during recess? We cannot take things for granted. When we become complacent, that's when things happen under our nose, and then a person suddenly says, hey, wait a second, how did that happen? I tell people in their jobs, you're new at a job, ask your employer for a meeting after a month or two and ask him, how am I doing? Are you happy with where I'm investing my time and energy? Would you like me to invest differently? After 6 months, get an appraisal. Don't hit the end of the year and then get a surprise they weren't happy with what you're doing all year long. Now, the same is true in a marriage. A person has to know that marriage is something that must be tended to. On autopilot, it's a self-destructive endeavor. Marriage won't work on autopilot. Autopilot leads us to squabbles. Autopilot leads us to misunderstandings. Autopilot leads two people apart and frustrated with one another. The only way a marriage can really grow and be fun and be rewarding for both sides is when you're willing to invest. And don't look at the other side. Look at yourself. Udelo Mosif Yosef is a rule for life. And the things that we cherish most require serious investment. If people don't have a set day during the week, aside from Shabbos, where they're going out with their wives, they have to change that. There has to be an investment. There has to be an understanding that there are times that we take to be alone. You come home after a day's work. Are you on the computer or your wife's on the computer? Are you on your WhatsApp or your wife's on the WhatsApp? Who's with one another? You go on a date. Don't go on a date with your cell phones. You have to take a cell phone because of a babysitter or something else. So that should be the only call that's answered. I told certain couples, invest the 10 shekel it costs you to have another SIM card. 10 shekel a month. For 10 shekel a month, when you go on a date, your babysitter will have that other SIM card. Leave your other phones at home. Take the SIM card that only the babysitter can call. Without investment, it doesn't grow. And without investment, it hits self-destruction. People end up leading parallel lives. They don't connect. And then people are frustrated. How come we don't connect? Well, if you're not investing, you're not going to connect. It doesn't happen. What's your wife's favorite ice cream? What's her favorite dessert? What's her favorite color? When we were engaged, so the Shabbos before our wedding, they decided, my wife's friends made a surprise party, like a last Shabbos thing for her. And they called me and interviewed me, and they asked me like 30 questions. And then they asked her those 30 questions. And this was like a game. How well do you know your chassan? So it was interesting. She knew a lot. I don't know how. It was very interesting. But you imagine that after you're together for 2 years or 4 years or 10 years, you're going to know a lot more. And many couples can be together their whole life and not know some very important details about their spouse. What's your spouse scared of? What are your spouse's fears and concerns about the next 10 years and 20 years? You'd think that people have time to share these things with one another. Our aspirations change over time. But if we don't take time to talk to one another, then we don't. Udelo yalif ketala chayav. Hillel continues the Mishnah and tells us, if a person doesn't learn altogether, if a person is, so then he really deserves the death penalty. Hillel says, a person's life is going to be around Torah, and you have to learn. So I once dated a girl whose father was very busy in finance, and she asked me, you really think every Jew can learn? So I said, yeah. So she said, and what if he can't learn? So I said, I can understand he can't learn Talmud, but there's Mishnah, and if Mishnah's hard on him, there's Medrash, and if Medrash is hard on him, there's Tanakh. Torah is not only Talmud, and a person can learn today, things are so accessible. If a person has a hard time reading, he could listen to Shiurim. If a person wants to learn in any language, and it's all free today, there's so much you could learn. Hillel says, if you didn't learn, you should know Ketala Chayav, you're missing out all of life. It's like the person deserves the death penalty. You're given a tool. The most phenomenal thing we have in this world is the Torah. The idea that Hashem gives us something, it's beyond our concepts, as we learned in the Drash HaSaran. The concept that Hashem, who is eternal, connects to humanity and tells us something and says, this is what I want you to do, it's only because we heard it from Hashem himself. That's how the Ran explained why we had to hear the second commandment from Hashem as well. Because the idea that Hashem commands something, that what we do actually matters, that's a concept that's beyond us. And then Hashem says, here, I'm giving you the system. Well, if you're not tapping into that, then as the Chazon Ish writes in the beginning of his book, Emunah U'Bitachon, if a person stops to think, then a person realizes that all of life is in question if he doesn't have answers. Then he has to ask himself, what am I doing here? I'm just going to come and go like the cattle, like a blade of grass. Udelo yalif, says Hillel, if you didn't learn at all, k'tala chayav, that person deserves the death penalty because he's missing out on all of life. Udeishtamesh b'taga chalaf. And finally, Hillel warns us, you did learn. Don't use the crown of Torah in your own honor. The Gemara in Tractate Nidarim tells us the story of Rabbi Tarfon, who came to his field and he took some of the figs from the field. The worker came and he didn't know it was his boss, Rabbi Tarfon. He said, you thief, in the name of Rabbi Tarfon, I'm going to kill you. And he grabbed Rabbi Tarfon and put him in a sack, and he was on his way to throw him in the river. And Rabbi Tarfon couldn't figure out what to do. The Gemara in the Nedarim says, Rabbi Tarfon started muttering to himself, "Oy vey Tarfon, look at that, your own worker doesn't recognize you. Now you're going to die just because of that." And the worker heard that, and he said, "Wait a second, he did have a long white beard. Wait a second, he was dressed like a rabbi. Wait a second, that might be true." He dropped the sack and ran for his life. And it says Rabbi Tarfon, his whole life regretted that conversation. It says his whole life he regretted it. So the Gemara says, why did he regret it? He was going to die. The Gemara says he could have offered the man a silver coin, a gold coin. He could have offered him, he could have bribed him his way out of it. Rabbi Tarfon said, he honored me because of my Torah. I shouldn't have used my crown of Torah, my fame as a Torah sage. I shouldn't have used that to get out of the rut I was in. And so it says Rabbi Tarfon his whole life regretted it. That's how careful the sages were not to use their fame, not to use the crown of Torah. And that's what the Mishnah warns us. Udishtamesh bitaga. If someone uses the crown of Torah, chalaf, then he should know he's going to pass from the world. One of the tools we have to try and aspire to is purity, that our learning should be pure. And it's very hard. We all want certain things. We want honor. We want respect. We want recognition. And Chazal told us, try to be pure. When I came to Rav Pesen Zatzal after I got engaged, I asked him what his recommendations were for married life. So he said, once upon a time, you could learn Torah out of dedication, but they just don't make them like they used to. And he looked down and said, they don't make them like they used to. And I'm thinking, what's he about to tell me about my wife? And he says, they don't make them like they used to. He looks at me and he says, they don't make us like they used to. He said, once upon a time, when a person learned Torah, he did it for the sake of heaven. And we are not like they used to be. We're not as pure as they were. He said, a wife reflects her husband. And when a husband is pure, then a wife can be dedicated to his Torah. But when a husband is tainted, then deep down inside, the wife senses that. And when his Torah is to some degree for his own benefit, for his own honor, so she has a hard time giving up her life for his honor. If it's for a noble cause, because he's pure in his desire for Torah, so then for that a woman can be dedicated. But we, he said, in his great humility, equating himself with me, he said, we are not on that level. So the women, our wives, cannot be expected to be dedicated for Torah the way we hear previous generations were. And the reason is because of us. Because we aren't pure enough. And they simply reflect what they sense from us. So the Mishnah warns us not to willingly use the crown of Torah. And we know in everything in life, it's not a all or nothing. It's a question of percentage. It's not that we're completely partial. It's not that we're completely impartial. We're somewhere in the middle. And we have to work to develop to become more L'shem Shemayim. One of the things is we also have to have patience when we see our spouses are not as dedicated, to remember what Rav Pesen Zatzal taught. They are merely reflecting us. Have a good night. See you guys later.